Practice number 28, learn to delegate effectively. Delegation is one of the most important time management as well as basic management tools that we all need to learn as leaders. In reality, as ministers, our goal is to equip others to do the work of ministry. So this means we have to learn to delegate. We have to learn to delegate to paid staff like our assistant or like our associates or like our colleagues on staff, while at the same time learning how to delegate to volunteers inside of the church. Now, this is not a resource on delegation. In fact, we could do a resource of this same length about delegation. But maybe you want to pick up a book on delegation or pick up a tool that will help you learn to delegate. But as we said earlier, the only thing worse than doing the wrong thing when it comes to time management is doing the thing that you do not need to do in the first place. So instead of doing someone else's work or instead of doing something that someone else should do, ask yourself, is this something I need to delegate? And one of the keys to delegation is being completely clear about what it is you want the other person to do, providing a timeline for how long it will take them to do it or how long it should take them to do it, and then having a feedback loop so that when they complete it, they're in touch with you. And that's just basic delegation. But decide now to become a master delegator so that you learn to delegate effectively. Practice number 29, determine how to meet. Meetings are part of ministry. That's just a fact. We're constantly meeting people in the church, people on staff, people from outside the church, people we need to counsel with, whatever it might be. And so the key is determine how to meet. And what you want to do is you want to ask, do we need to meet face-to-face? Because clearly a face-to-face meeting is going to be the most time-intensive meeting. And so the first question is this a face-to-face meeting? If it's not, say, well, can we meet by phone? Can we talk by phone? And then you would go from there, can we do this by email? Or can we do this in a way that promotes technology? Or can we do this through the utilization of technology? Instead of traveling across town, it may be better just to talk by phone. And maybe you talk longer by phone than you would by meeting, but you save the travel time. Or maybe you do need to meet. But what does this require? What's the best use of our time? And this is a simple way of just asking yourself, this is a simple way of just determining what is the best use of my time right now when it comes to meeting with this other person. Now, I'm a big fan of face-to-face meetings. Sometimes you can accomplish more in a 10-minute or 30-minute face-to-face meeting than you can through 30 or 40 emails. Sometimes you need to stop the emailing and get on the phone and talk. But the key is that you're thinking it through and you're determining how you need to meet with every person you're scheduled to meet with. Practice number 30, make plane time work time. Or if you're not traveling by plane, make bus time work time, or make train time work time, or make travel time work time. The goal here is to take the time that you're using to travel and be productive with that time. I happen to travel quite a bit as a speaker, as a trainer, as a pastor. And I noticed that on the plane, a lot of people are just relaxing, or a lot of people are just dozing off, or they're just rifling through magazines. But I've made a decision to, as much as possible, use the plane time or the travel time as work time. And this way, I'm ahead when I get back to the office. And I often will have a goal for what I'm going to try to do when I'm traveling. And while other people are snoozing, I'm getting things done. While other people are behind when they get back from a trip, I'm caught up so that I can focus on family that I've missed while I've been gone, or I can focus on things that have come up at work while I've been away. And the key is to find the time in the midst of your travel when you can work. Now, obviously, if you're driving a car, this doesn't mean that you can be doing paperwork while you're driving down the interstate. But if you're on a plane or if you're on a train, it may be something to consider. In fact, I've had to make the decision from time to time to take a train somewhere so that I can work because I couldn't afford to be behind the wheel of a car where I couldn't work. But at other times, you can be behind the wheel of a car and you can make telephone calls. And you can do that through a hands-free device so you're not putting other people on the interstate in danger. The key is to think, when travel is required, how can I make the most out of the time that I'm going to be away from the office? Practice number 31, turn wait time into productive time. Turn wait time, W-A-I-T, time, into productive time. The fact is, we all have to wait from time to time. We have to wait at the doctor's office. We have to wait for someone to arrive for a meeting. We have to wait for something to be delivered to us. And the key is to take that time and to use it productively. And so the goal is to have several smaller projects that you can do during that wait time. Let's say, for example, that you're having to wait at a doctor's office. Instead of just showing up at the doctor's office, prepare before you get there and say, what if I have to wait 15 minutes for the doctor? What could I be working on? What paperwork could I complete? Or maybe you have to wait for an hour and 15 minutes. What books could you read? What books could you read while you're waiting? So the key is to plan in advance for that potential wait time. And then, of course, if you don't have it, then, well, that's fine. You just go on about your appointment with the doctor or you go on about the meeting and it gets started. But if you do have it, you're prepared. And instead of wasting time, you are turning that waiting time into productive time. And as you begin to do this, you'll be amazed at how much time you actually have, that you're constantly waiting. And so you're working while other people are wasting away the time in the waiting room. Practice number 32, listen to audio recordings in the car. You know, whenever your hands are busy but your mind is free, it's a great time for you to be growing in the professional. It's a great time for professional development. One of the ways that you can use your time in the car is to turn your car into a university on wheels by listening to resources like this or other resources that we have in our organization or just perhaps other resources that are available. In fact, most of the great books of our day are available on audio recording. And so while many people are stuck in traffic, you can be stuck in traffic and expanding your mind and becoming a more productive person and becoming a more educated person. And this requires preparation to make sure that whenever you're in the car, you always have something good to listen to, something close by to listen to. And you'll be amazed at how much you can listen to just through a commute time. Even if your commute is only 20 minutes to work, if you listen to a recording 20 minutes there, 20 minutes back, you do that over the course of several days, you can listen to many hours of recorded material. You can even listen to the same material over and over and over. And in fact, by listening to something over and over and over, it becomes a part of your subconscious mind. And then you can begin to live out those principles and enact those principles. The key for time management is to never let an empty moment go by, but to be as productive as possible at every moment possible, or to pray that prayer, Lord, what's the best use of my time right now? So when you get behind the steering wheel, say, Lord, bless this trip and help me to be productive in my time with you. And sometimes that means listening to audio recordings. Other times it may mean just communing with God. But by being ready to listen when you can raise the productivity time of drive time. Practice number 33, trade money for time when possible. When possible, make the trade-off between money and time. Because the reality is you can always make more money, but you can't get more time. Now, here's how this exercise works. Determine exactly what an hour of your time is worth. So let's say that you decide an hour of your time is worth $20. And for some who are listening, that may be more than what you get paid per hour. For others, it may be significantly less. But let's just say for the sake of this illustration, you make $20 an hour. And you look at a particular project that you're about to do. Could you hire someone to do that project at a lesser rate? If you can, and if you can afford it, that would be a very good trade-off to make. I remember one time after our first child was born, my wife had been taking care of him, and we had had several rough nights, and the house was in a bit of a mess, and I was in a bit of a crunch time at church, and we had just a couple of hours that was going to be available to us later on in the week. And because we had been staying at home a lot to take care of our young son, we had been able to save some of our spending money that we would have normally used to go out on a Friday night or perhaps to go to a movie. And so we knew we had this couple of hours coming up, and we thought, well, we could use that couple of hours cleaning our house, or we could take that money and use it to hire someone to come in and clean our house. Now, we're not the type of people that uses a housekeeper. We had never hired a maid in our life. But in this particular time, we thought it might be more effective for us to use that money to hire a babysitter, to use that money to bring in to someone to clean our house so that we could just go out and go for a walk or go for a hike in the park. And so we decided at that moment that spending time together was more important than having the money. And so we made a picnic and we went to a local park and we brought in someone who did a great job cleaning our house and we brought in someone who tended to our small child. And that was really a very important trade-off that we made in trading off money for time. Now, I know in ministry, most of us can't do that all the time. We can't bring in housekeepers every week. And even if we could, we perhaps shouldn't even do that. But when we can make these trade-offs, it's important to do that. For example, at your office, is it possible to hire a part-time person to come in and do some filing for you so that you don't have to do it? Is it possible to hire a college student to come in and do some particular type of work so that you don't have to do it? Whenever you can hire someone at a lesser rate than you're paying yourself, that's a good trade-off, and it's going to free you up to do higher level activities so that you can be more productive. Practice number 34. Live off-peak. This is one of my favorite time management principles. And so I've saved this practice for next to last because this is so much fun to do, and it's one of the few benefits that we have of time management by being in ministry. You know, by being in ministry, it means that our schedule is often in someone else's hands because there might be a crisis or there might be a funeral or there might be some interruption in our schedule. But one of the things we do have in our schedule that a lot of other people do not have is we have flexibility. Whenever we have to do the routine errands of life, like going to the bank or going to the cleaners or going shopping or going to pick up something that we had altered or whatever it might be, whenever we have to do these routine errands, we have some flexibility. We don't always have to do those after work. We don't always have to do those at peak time. For example, here in New York City where I pastor, lunchtime is at 1 o'clock every day. And so most businesses in the area, they break around 1 o'clock. Well, the reality is if you go to a restaurant at 1 o'clock, you're going to have to wait. There's going to be a line. There's going to be a backup. But because my office is more flexible, I can go to lunch at 12 o'clock and I can be completely done and checked out before the crowd comes at 1 o'clock. Or I can go to lunch at 12:30 and beat the crowd. Or if I choose, I could choose to go to lunch at 2:15 and avoid the crowds by doing that. I have some flexibility when it comes to that area. At the same time, because I'm not required to be in the office every day until a certain time, if I need to leave a few minutes early or stay a few minutes late, I can live my life off peak. And this particular principle has saved me all kinds of time. For example, I never shop during peak times. You'll never find me in a grocery store right after work because that's when everybody else is there at the grocery store. And even if I have to leave work at 5:30 every day, I will adjust my schedule and do the things that other people are not doing at that particular time. If most people go to the bank first and then go shopping, I go shopping and then go to the bank. And so I try to avoid that, avoid peak times. At the same time, when it comes to my commute, many of us live in areas where there's long commutes. Well, we could go in an hour earlier and go home an hour earlier and avoid the entire rush hour traffic. And so watch these natural peak times around your city or around your town and try to avoid them. Ask the people at the restaurant, when do the crowds come? Ask the people at the grocery store, when are you the busiest? Ask the people who commute, say, when are the times where the interstates are most packed? And then try to avoid those times and adjust your life so that you can live off-peak. Practice number 35, and the final one for our time management for busy pastors. Practice number 35 is this: outline your ideal day. Outline your ideal day. This takes us back to where we began. If you could put together your ideal day, how would you spend your time? Who would you spend your time with? How much time would you spend with your spouse? How much time would you spend with your family? How much time would you spend at the office? How much time would you spend on every activity? And so have this piece of paper somewhere in your folder that says, "My ideal day." I have a friend who says on his ideal day, he would spend time playing with his dogs. I have other friends who say on my ideal day, I would go running in the park. On my list of an ideal day, I would have reading time where I could just engage a book at a longer period of time, perhaps for an hour or two. That would just be part of my ideal day. And to have this list of elements from an ideal day is a great exercise, but then it's a great time management tool because what you want to do is you want to make sure that every day has some element from your ideal day in it. And this makes sure you stay in balance. And unfortunately, you can't live your ideal day every day. That's just not practical in the world we live in. But you can make sure that there are elements of your ideal day in every day. And this ensures that you're balanced. This ensures that you're living your life according to your values. For example, I have a friend who says, on my ideal day, I would spend 2 hours with my children playing in the morning. Well, the reality is you can't spend 2 hours every morning playing with your children. You have to get to work. You have to start your day. But you can spend some time playing with your kids every morning. You can spend 2 hours playing with your kids on your day off or on your Sabbath. But just outlining this ideal day helps us come back to where we began by evaluating our priorities, evaluating what's important. And so just sit down right now and list out the top 10 or the top 20 things that you would have in your ideal day, and then work as much as possible to make sure there are certain elements of that ideal day in every day. And this way, you make time management life management. So it's time for review. Number 24, write it down. Number 25, make notes on where you are ending a project. Number 26, use technology carefully. Number 27, learn to type faster. Number 28, learn to delegate effectively. Number 29, determine how to meet. Number 30, make plain time into work time. Number 31, turn wait time into productive time. Number 32, listen to audio recordings in the car. Number 33, trade money for time when possible. Number 34, live off peak. And number 35, outline your ideal day. So there you have it, the 35 practices of effective time management. Because we're all busy and we all want to manage our time. And I want to encourage you to take these practices and begin to develop them into your life. I also want to encourage you here at the end of this recording to make time management a constant study. Maybe pick up some books on time management to follow this. Maybe schedule a time 6 months from now to re-listen to this entire recording from start to finish and add the additional practices into your life. But to continue to be the steward of time that God would have you to be. Continue to make time management life management. And along the way, I would love to hear the different practices that you would add to this list, so feel free to contact me at any time. But thank you for making this investment in yourself, for making this investment in your family, for making this investment in your ministry. May God bless you as you seek to manage your time well.